Welcome to the Peckway Church Podcast. We're glad you're here. At Peckway, our mission is to transform lives by connecting people with God and with each other. It's our hope that this message will give you hope and encourage you to take the next step in your journey with Christ. For more information about our services and weekly ministries, visit us at peckwaychurch.com.
Good morning. I'm going to ask you to stand as we begin this morning. Welcome, Merry Christmas. Let's worship.
What shepherds kept them watching over silent flocks by night? Behold, throughout the heavens, there shone a holy light. Oh, I say, go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ. Shepherds feared and trembled when low above the earth rang out the angel chorus that held our Savior's birth. Down in a lowly manger, our humble Christ was born, and God sent us salvation on that blessed Christmas.
Thanks so much for being here this morning, everyone. Welcome to Peckway Church. My name is Scott Munson. I'm the worship pastor here, and it is our joy and honor to celebrate Christmas together with you guys. Inside here in the bulletin this morning is a gray connection card. I'm going to invite everyone to take that out. Online, there's going to be a connect link in the chat window. But this is simply one of the ways that we're able to connect with you guys and communicate things and actually be able to, you can communicate with us. And so that's one of the great ways that we're able able to do that. So you'll see a place there on the front for some information. Just fill out as much as you're comfortable with. And if you're a regular attender, you can just put your first and last name on that card. And then on the back is some places there. Maybe you have some questions about Pequay Church. This is where you can indicate that. Maybe some of the ministries that we have or events that will be upcoming. And then on the next place beside that there is a place for your comments and your prayer requests. And we very, very much enjoy praying along with you, and we thank you for trusting us to do that. So if you have a concern or care today, please take a moment and write that on the card. We would love to be able to serve you in that capacity. Online, you're going to find that same thing available for you as you're watching online this morning. Also, if you're a first-time guest and you want to just do it really quick and easy, you can take out your mobile phone and you can text the word hello to 717-872-5679. You'll get a text there, a prompt, just to get connected with us, and then we can communicate that way as well. So thank you for doing that today. We appreciate your trust in being able to do that. And you'll have that card available a little bit later. We're going to ask you maybe to do some things with that at the end of today's service. We're so glad that you're here celebrating with us this morning. And we're talking about what it is as Jesus came to earth, the joy that we have, and what that means. And so many times we kind of get caught up in all the flashy things of Christmas, or maybe you just are exhausted because it just seems to be go, go, go when it gets to this time of year with the holidays. So we're so glad that you're here, that we're going to hear this message of hope today, of what Jesus means, what it brings when he came to the earth, and what that means for us as people that can know him and have a relationship with him. But we're going to look at that in just a few moments, but we're going to sing a few more carols. Would you stand to your feet as we continue singing this morning? But I forgot, we're going to watch a video first, so let me stop that. I forgot. Go ahead and sit down. I just want to see some exercise this morning. Here we go. Celebrate Emmanuel, God with us. Would you stand and sing as we give him glory today, celebrating Jesus with us.
And the mountains in reply echo.
thinking about the miracle of Jesus' birth. We want to behold him in all his glory, but not just thinking of him as a baby today, but what it means that he came and he lived a perfect life, but he died for us. He cared so much. You're probably familiar with John 3:16 that talks about that he loved the world so much that he gave his only son for us, talking about Jesus. So as we continue singing together this morning, thinking of this joyous day, let's celebrate that fact as well, that God so loved us that he sent his only son to come and die for us.
Beyond all comprehension, he gave
Last song, it talked about Christ being the love song of God. And at Christmas time, we look back at his birth, but we also look to what he came to do. We look to the cross. And so the words of this next song lead us to think about Christ. Behold the Lamb of God.
And light of men.
Jesus, we're so thankful that you were willing to come to earth, to live a mortal life, to give up all of heaven just for us, Jesus. As we think of you on this day, as we come to celebrate your birth, Jesus, we come with gratitude in our hearts, with thankfulness. God, I pray for a clearer understanding of just what a miracle it was that Mary, through the Holy Spirit, conceived you. And that all the things that took place, Father, the announcement to the shepherds, the wise men who followed after the star, the celebration that took place, the realization of who you were, the Messiah. And so, God, as we come to this season, whether it be with joy or with sadness and grief, God, Lord, may our hearts be full with you today. May our eyes be opened to the understanding of what it means on this Christmas celebration, Father, on this advent of your birth today. I pray that as you speak through Pastor Jerry, through the hope that he shares in your word, Father, that you would help us again, Father, just to see you, to know your presence, and to celebrate that together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, thank you, Scott. Thank you, worship team. And as well, I want to say to each of you, thank you for being here as we kick off our celebration of Christmas. And even as I say that, I want to say this. I don't want to presume, but I want to invite you, if at all possible, to come back tonight at 5 or 6:30 for two distinct services, unique services, services of the worship team and the tech team put a lot of time and energy in that I think you're going to find creative and impactful. And so I just want to encourage you to come on back. But this morning, to kind of just move us in and help us think about our celebration of Christmas, I want to just ask you, perhaps better yet, share with you one of the observations that I have about human nature. And here's my observation. You're free to agree or disagree. Here's the observation, that to a large degree, your conduct and mine is controlled by our expectations. I'll say that again. To a large degree, your conduct and mine is controlled by our expectations. And if you say, I don't know whether I agree with that or not, that's fine. Let me give you an example. I think the best example there is children on Christmas. And here's what I mean by that. If you have children in your home, I promise you, tomorrow morning, you are not going to have to work to get them out of bed. Would you agree? You're not going to have to work. In fact, if you're like myself and Lara, when our kids were little, after you put them to bed tonight, here's what you're going to do. You're going to kneel beside your bed and pray, "Dear God, please let them sleep." That's what you're going to do. "Dear God, please let them sleep." Your prayer's not going to be answered. Sorry to tell you, but that's what you're going to pray. But here's the interesting thing. And my kids are now in college age and young adults. One has a family of his own. But here's what I know. Take those same kids. When it's time to go back to school in January, that first morning, and it's going to be a whole different story, isn't it? You're going to work to get them out of bed. And the reason why is because our expectations control our conduct. And my favorite story about that, it's a true story, it's an old story, but it's my favorite story, involves the actress Helen Hayes, who by her own admission was not a good cook. But after years of marriage, what she said, "You know what, I'm going to try to cook Christmas dinner." She was obviously wealthy enough, she didn't have to do that, but she said, "I'm going to try doing it." So she spent all day in the kitchen preparing Christmas dinner, and she was ready to bring it out. Before she did, she called her husband and son into the dining room, and she sat them down and said, "Guys, I want to talk to you for a second. I want you to understand that this may not turn out the way we all expected and hope that it turns out. And if that's the case, if the meal isn't good, I don't want you to say anything. I just want you to get up from where you're seated, and we'll go to the nearest restaurant and eat." And with that disclaimer, she went back in the kitchen to gather up the meal. And when she came back, she found sitting at the kitchen table, not just her son and her husband, but her son and her husband sitting there with their coats on and their hats on, ready to go to the restaurant. Why? You know why? Because our expectations control our conduct. So here's my question for you, all joking aside. So when it comes to Christmas, what are you expecting this year? What are you expecting when it comes to Christmas? Now, here's what I know. I know it about you. I know it about me. Some of us, we've seen the excitement in our children or grandchildren's eyes this morning, or maybe this week, as they anticipated presents under the tree. And for that reason, you know what we're expecting, right? A joy-filled Christmas. Now, others of us, we've been tracking, that's just who we are, we've been tracking how much we've been spending for the goodies and gifts for Christmas. And we recognize that come January, when the credit card bill comes, the bill will be bigger than the bank account. And so we're expecting a stress-filled Christmas. Still others of you, and I'm looking at you, some of you have already been up early this morning working, haven't you? I mean, you're sitting here and I'm speaking and you've been laughing, but the truth is your mind is back at home on the cleaning that has to happen, the gifts that have to be wrapped, and the food that has to be prepared. And so the truth be told, as you're sitting here right now, what you're expecting is a work-filled Christmas. And finally, I would say, I know this for a case that some of you have lost a loved one in 2023. Or you're at that stage in life where the kids aren't coming home for Christmas, and so you're sitting here today expecting a lonely, grief-filled Christmas. But here's my question, regardless of what you're expecting, is that all that you're expecting this Christmas? Because again, I want to say to you folks, our expectations of Christmas will shape to a large degree our experience of Christmas. And so what I want to do for the next few minutes is just try to help you and help me, to help all of us, as we prepare to gather around tables and trees and manger scenes over the next 24 hours, to really begin to have a different expectation. The way I want to do that is share with you heaven's expectation of Christmas. Because here's what I believe. Here's my whole motivation for taking the next 25 minutes this morning to talk to you about this, because I really believe that if we will let heaven's expectations of Christmas shape our own expectations of Christmas, we will experience, like heaven experienced, a truly joy-filled Christmas. So that's my goal. That's what I'm hoping to help us do this morning. So let's get into it. And the way I want to begin, and if you haven't, go ahead and take out your outlines, or you can look here on the screen. All the verses I'm going to read this morning are going to be up on the screen or there on your outline. But I want to begin by reading the Christmas story as it's recorded by Luke, who's writing a biography of the life of Jesus. And let me just begin here with verse 8 of chapter 2 of his gospel. Here's what he writes. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, and Luke loves that word, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid," he said, "for I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born to you today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign, for you will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, and they were all praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." And so when we talk about the expectation of heaven, the first thing I want us to notice is that the first thing heaven expected was God's gift of happiness. God's gift of happiness. I want you to notice what the angel said to the shepherds. He said, "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people." In other words, the message the angel shared with the shepherds that night was an encouraging one, which tells you, and I hope it tells you, certainly tells me, that God isn't some cosmic killjoy looking for ways to discourage us. And I say that for this reason, because I've been a Christian for 40 years, a pastor for about 30, and the reality is I know that many, many people see God that way, as a cosmic killjoy, as someone who's out to make their life miserable. But I want to try to show you just how misguided that perception of God is. And the way I want to do that, and those of you who are parents or grandparents, even if you're not, I think you can imagine this. I want you to imagine as a parent, one of your children coming to you and saying to you, "Mommy, Daddy, Mother, Father," depending on their age, saying, "More than anything else, first of all, I want you to know I love you. And second, what I want you to know is I want to do everything I can to live a life pleasing to you." Now, here's my question. How would you respond to that? I mean, after you came to from fainting, how would you respond to that? Would you respond by saying to that child, that son, that daughter, say, "You know what? I'm going to do everything I can to make you regret that. I'm going to do everything in my power to make you regret the decision that you made, that you said you wanted to live a life pleasing to me." None of us would do that, would we? You know why, and I know why, because that is completely contrary to the heart of a loving father and a loving mother. And yet, as I said, many, many people perceive God that way. They assume that if they came to God or they come to God and say, "God, I want to live a life pleasing you. I want to live my life according to your purpose and your plan." They somehow assume that God is going to respond by saying, "I'm going to make you regret that. I'm going to make you eat those words." And here's why we do that. Here's why we think that way. Because we don't understand the heart of God. We truly do not understand the heart of God. And so what we do when we don't understand the heart of God is we equate saying to God, "I want to live a life pleasing to you," is we equate that with inviting God to make our life miserable. But folks, the truth is, the story of Christmas proves it. The truth is, nothing could be further from the truth. That's why God sent an angel. And that angel very clearly and very precisely said, "I bring good news to you that will bring great joy to all people." And it didn't stop there, because after Jesus, this baby that was born in a manger in Bethlehem, after this baby Jesus grew up and became a man, he essentially said the same thing. I want you to look at it. Here's what he said in John 10:10. He said, "I came in order that you might have life, life in all its fullness." And so what those two verses make clear, at least to me, and I hope for you this morning, is simply this, that God's goal for your life and mine is not simply to endure it. It's to enjoy it. It's to give us life and give us a fullness of life, which is why the very first thing heaven expects at Christmas is a gift of God's happiness. God's gift of happiness. Let me give you the second thing heaven expects at Christmas, and that's God's gift of hope. God's gift of hope. Because take a look at what else the angel said. He said, he told the shepherds, "The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem in the city of David." Now, we sang about it just a few moments ago, but here's what you know as well as I do, folks. As Christians, we talk a whole lot about Jesus being born to be the Savior of the world. We talk a lot about Jesus, as we just sang, and they did it so beautifully, about Jesus being the Lamb of God, but do we really know what that means? And just as importantly, do we understand its significance? And to make sure we do, I just want to take just a few minutes, very quickly, it won't take long, but I just want to unpack this whole idea of salvation as the Bible intends it, as the Bible talks about it. Because in the Bible, salvation really means three things. There's not a place there in your life to do this, but you might want to jot this down to be able to explain it to someone else and say, what is in the world do you Christians mean? What in the world does pastors mean on a Sunday morning when they talk about Jesus saves or that Jesus is our Savior? What's that all about? Let me tell you what the Bible means when it talks about salvation. The first thing it means is this: forgiveness for your past regrets. In other words, God providing forgiveness for those things that fill you and fill me with pain and shame. And we all have it, don't we? Those skeletons in our closet. Those things that we wish we get a do-over with. Wish we had never done. That the first thing salvation means is God gives us freedom from our past regrets. Here's the second thing it means. It means freedom from the problems that mess up our present. Freedom from the problems that mess up our present. And yeah, for me at least, many of those problems in the present is what fueled my regrets. But it could be an addiction. It could be a personal struggle. It could be an attitude. I don't know what it is, but the second thing salvation means biblically is freedom from the problems that right now are messing up our lives. And the third and final thing, and again, many of you have heard this and know this, the final thing that means, because I'm a pastor, I need to alliterate, it's future home in heaven. Forgiveness for our past, freedom from the problems that are messing up our present, and then finally, a future home in heaven. In other words, we get the gift of eternal life, living forever with God in heaven. And so when we talk about it, when we sing about it, as it just happened just a few minutes ago, we sing about Jesus being our Savior. What we're really saying, if we're talking about it biblically, we're saying we've allowed Jesus to give us those three things. To give us that forgiveness for our past and freedom from the problems that are messing up our lives in the present and ultimately a home in heaven in the future. That's what we're saying. And here's why that's significant. Because the Bible also teaches very clearly, there's no exception, there's no getting around it. The Bible teaches very clearly that none of us, including myself, can save ourselves. That it's beyond us. We cannot do it no matter how hard we try, no matter how good we try to be. We cannot save ourselves. And let me explain that idea, at least try to explain that idea this way. Let me give you another illustration, another metaphor, if you will. If you've ever seen a lifeguard save a person, then here's probably what you saw. This isn't ironclad, but this is what I think you saw. You saw that, and let's just affirm it, my wife was a lifeguard, so let's use she. You watch this lifeguard, this young lady, this woman swim out to the person who was drowning, and when they got close to them, not right up against them, but when they got close to them, what you saw was the lifeguard stop and begin to tread water. And the reason you saw the lifeguard do that, because if that lifeguard, my wife would immediately swam up to that person who was drowning in that effort to save themselves, you know what they do? What we'd instinctively do, we grab onto that person. Some of us would even try to climb onto the person who's trying to save us in order to try to save ourselves. And so in the process, as sincere as we are trying to save ourselves, what we'd ultimately do is not only drown ourselves, but drown the person who's trying to save us. And so lifeguards are trained to tread water until the person, if you will, is literally going under the last time, until they've exhausted all their efforts to save themselves. And they say in that moment, when that person's ultimately going down for the last time, what you simply do is swim up, put an arm over their shoulder, and pull the person safely back to shore, or to the side of the pool, or wherever it is, but you pull them back to safety. Now, here's the reason I share that, folks, because that same principle applies spiritually. Here's what we need to understand. As long as you and I are trying to save ourselves from our past regrets and our present problems, God will let us thrash around and splash around in the water. Not because he doesn't love us, not because he doesn't care, but God knows as long as we're trying to save ourselves, he cannot save us. He cannot set us free. So what God does is he comes, draws near, and he stays close, and he lets us try to our very best to earn it, to deserve it, to somehow merit his grace and his forgiveness in our life. And when we finally exhaust ourselves, when we finally come to that realization that I cannot do this, and we feel like we're going under for the last time, then, and we cry out to God and say, God, I acknowledge it. I cannot save myself. Then staying with that metaphor, staying with an image, God in his grace simply slips his arm around us and pulls us to safety. So here's what we need to understand about Christmas, folks. By sending Jesus to earth, what God literally was saying to us was this: stop trying to save yourself. You can't do it. Accept my hope. accept my help, accept my son as your Savior. That's why John wrote this. It's one of my favorite verses. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. That verse follows the verse that Scott talked about, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But I love John 3:17 even more than John 3:16, to be honest, because it tells me God did not come to beat us up. He came to lift us up. He came to save us. And he did that through the person of his son, Jesus. So at Christmas, heaven not only sees and expects God's gift of happiness, it also expects God's gift of hope. It expects that, and we can expect that, because God the Father sent God the Son, that is Jesus, to do for us what we cannot ever do for ourselves, which is save us. Well, let me give you the final thing that heaven expects. Expects it on the first Christmas, it expects it this Christmas, and that is God's gift of harmony. God's gift of harmony. We take a look at what Luke writes next. It's there on your outline. It says, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven. And they were praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. In other words, what we need to understand that the angel is doing, what the angel is saying, what Christmas is about, is because Jesus was born, it is possible for us, actually possible for us, to not only have our relationship with God restored that we just talked about, but because Jesus was born, it is now possible, believe it or not, for us to have our relationships with one another restored, to have those relationships healed. And folks, please hear the sequence, because it's important. Because our relationship with God can be restored, our relationship with other people can be restored. Let me say it like this, folks, and it's only after you and I experience peace with God that we will experience the peace of God. And only then, when the peace of God is reigning in your life and mine, is the operating principle of your life and mine, will we not only seek, but will actually find ourselves able to make peace with other people. That's why Paul wrote this. He said, God reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Again, get the sequence. God took the initiative. God was the actor. We're the reactor. God is the one that set all of this in motion. Paul said it like this. It's not on your outline. Paul said, while we were yet sinners, while we were yet separated from God, while we could not save ourselves, Christ came and he gave his life for us. And so Paul wrote what he did because he understood that the only way for you and I to ultimately experience peace with other people, let alone peace with God, is through Jesus. Now I say that, and again, as I told you and I've revealed to you, I've been a pastor long enough to know that I know what some of you are thinking. And it isn't because I'm psychic. It's because I have conversations after this monologue. And I know what some of you are thinking. Some of you are thinking, and I don't take offense by it. I get it. I was there. Some of you are saying, even as I say that, Jerry, that's easy for you to say. You don't know what he did to me. You don't know what she did to me. You don't know how my parents treated me. You don't know how my spouse did me wrong. Jerry, you don't know. It's easy for you to say that, but I can't do it. I can't forgive him. I can't forget and I can't forgive. And folks, here's what I want to say to you first of all, folks. I want you to understand that I don't know what they did. And in no shape or form would I ever stand here and try to say something in any way that would leave you feeling like I am minimizing or trivializing that hurt and the pain. And so I acknowledge to you, I acknowledge to all of you that I do not know what they did to you. But here's what I do know. I know what Jesus did for you. I know what Jesus did for you. And so the reality is, I understand that while there is a limit to your forgiveness, while there is a limit to your love, as there is a limit to my forgiveness and my love in and of myself, folks, there is no limit to the forgiveness and love that Jesus makes possible for us and to us. In other words, you and I can pray to him and we can say, Jesus, love them through me. And having prayed that prayer, we could then trust him in his grace, in his time, to begin to enable us to love the people that in our own power we find completely unlovable and completely unforgivable. But he can do it in us and through us. So let me summarize, folks. because Jesus was born, because of Christmas. The reality is we now have this coming of happiness and hope and harmony. And the reason those things were given to us, those gifts from God, is so that you and I could experience real and tangible healing for the hurts and the heartaches that have and continue for some of us to mess up our lives. And folks, that's what heaven expects at Christmas. Not just the first Christmas, but every Christmas, this Christmas. So let me ask you again. So what are you expecting this Christmas? Gifts? Possibly grief? And if that is, my heart is with you and I'm praying for you. Are you expecting food? Family? Those are good things. How about bills and stress? Don't raise your hand. Folks, whatever it is, can I say to you, can I encourage you, if you will focus on what heaven expects, the hope and the Savior of the world, then I promise you, you can experience what heaven experiences. And that was a joy so profound that it moved an army of angels to sing, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to all whom God has pleased." And folks, for me, and I think for you, I cannot imagine or think of a greater Christmas gift or experience than that. Let's bow our heads for prayer. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, would you just allow me the privilege of talking to you just for a moment? Because again, as I look out on a crowd this size on a Christmas Eve morning, I suspect some of you are like me, that up until this morning, the Christmas story was little more than a sentimental story to you. In other words, it really had no practical, personal meaning in your life. It's just a story we tell. But this morning, because of the work of God's Spirit, you sense it's more than that. In fact, in your heart, you sense it's about the coming of God's Son as the one true source of happiness and hope and harmony. And if that's where you're at today, if that has become your reality this morning, then I want to encourage you with everything in me. Don't leave here without making Jesus not only the Savior of the world, but the Savior of your life. And to do that, all you have to do is talk to God like you talk to a friend. You don't have to say it out loud. God knows our thoughts. Just talk to him and say something like this to him. I'll just give you some words. You don't have to repeat them. They added to your heart. But just say something like this to God if that's where you're at today. God, I want to receive the gift of your son, Jesus. I want to receive the gift of your son, Jesus, so I'm opening my life to him. I don't fully understand all that means, but I know today that's what I need to do. And so I ask you to forgive me for the things that I've done, perhaps the many things that I've done that have pulled me away from you and also pushed you time and time again out of my life. And so, God, I'm asking you to put your Spirit and your love in me so that I can become the person you created me to be. And in fact, the person in my best moments I want to be. I'm going to give you just a second to say in your own words that to God. Because something as simple as just saying, God, I need and I want your gift of Jesus in my life. Forgive me for pushing you away and pushing him away before this time in my life. Now, if you're praying and talking to God, I want you to continue to do that. But let me say this with our heads still bowed, that if you prayed that prayer and you meant it, then you need to understand God heard you. Your loving Heavenly Father heard you. And so you have begun and stepped into the most exciting journey of your life. It's the journey of following Jesus. And I say that because I also want to say this to you. This church staff and myself are here and ready to help you on that journey. Do anything we can to help you grow and develop in that relationship. And so I'm going to ask you in just a moment when as we wrap up the services, I finish praying that if you will take out that Great Connect card this Pastor Scott talked about, there's a box on the back at the very top that simply says, my decision today, and under it, the very first line says, my decision today is to give my life to Jesus. And if you prayed that prayer and you meant it, then I want to encourage you to check that box, and then as you leave today, there's a box in the back, just drop it in that box. And if you'll do that, then I promise you, we will get to you some materials that will help you grow and develop in that relationship with Jesus. But for now, I just want to pray for you, pray for us, and then we'll move on with the service. Heavenly Father, thank you for helping us understand perhaps better today than ever before heaven's expectations of Christmas. I pray that you will help each of us, not just in this moment, but tonight as we celebrate, and tonight as we're at home, and tomorrow as we open gifts and gather around tables and trees and nativity scenes, help us to respond the way the angels did, with joy, praise, and gratitude. And we pray all that in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Jerry, for a powerful and timely word this morning. I am Pastor Chris, if you don't know who I am, and I'm just going to close out our service today. And I believe at this time we have some pictures that are just going to kind of be rotating. And what these pictures are, every year at this time of year, we kind of lay a challenge before the church, and really it's a spiritual practice, if you will, and it involves giving. And this year, especially as Pastor Jerry was just talking about, the expectation of heaven at Christmas is happiness, hope, and harmony in Jesus Christ. We're thinking specifically about the Middle East right now and what's happening in Israel, especially in Gaza. And there's a region of the world that is not experiencing these things that we talked about this morning. And so we are looking to join together with Jerusalem Evangelistic Outreach Ministry, and the website is jeoministry.org, and I believe there's information about that in the bulletin. I just wanted to share with you this morning an email that I received from Rami, who is the director of JEO Ministry, just about what the situation is like for brothers and sisters there and for people on the ground there. And this was what he shared with me on Friday. I'm glad that the relief video will work for you. That's, if you come back tonight, you'll see that. The need for relief has indeed increased dramatically, especially in the communities in which we serve. For example, we do a lot of relief ministry in Bethlehem and the surrounding villages. The tourist industry is a major source of employment there, and this industry that has been shut down since October. Now, closed checkpoints and restrictions on movement have meant that many people can't travel to their jobs. There's no social security system, meaning people rely on organizations like us to survive. It's hard to find new statistics, but I read that according to the United Nations, that the poverty rate has increased by at least a third in just 2 months. The closure of the tourist industry has also hit Jerusalem very hard. Most stores in the old city are closed. Needless to say, the Christians we seek to reach with relief ministry in Gaza face unimaginable suffering. The majority of the roughly 800 Christians there are sheltering together in two of the main churches. Many have been killed in the conflict, and some who attempted to leave the churches have been killed. We have strong links with churches there to help provide them with means to buy food. We also help Gazan Christians who previously left and live in the West Bank. We are praying for the Lord's provision to physically and spiritually bless as many families in need as possible. A food parcel typically costs $60 and can feed a family for up to 2 weeks. Many blessings, Rami. And so our goal this year is to raise $15,000 with our Christmas offering. which will cover the distribution costs for the entire year, the budgeted year for this ministry for 2024. And I'm excited to share that a board member spoke to me just before the service, and he said that currently we have committed around $10,000. So this goal of $15,000 seems like a big goal, but friends, God is providing, and we are already 66% of the way there. So we praise God for that. And so I want to just ask, you know, what is God laying on your heart to share with those who are not experiencing that happiness, that hope, and that harmony found in Jesus Christ, especially this time of year? We're reconciled reconcilers, as Jerry pointed out to us from Paul's words. And this is a small part of that process. And so in light of that, think about, pray about, talk about it with your family. What are you going to give this year? How are you going to use what God has blessed you with to be a blessing to others? And again, I want to just draw your attention to the gray card. As Pastor Scott and Pastor Jerry have pointed out, we'd love to hear about any decisions that you made today. And we are also a church that believes in prayer. And as a staff, we gather together every morning to pray over the needs of our church family. And so put down any prayer requests that you may have. As Jerry pointed out, any decisions you made today, we'd love to hear about those decisions, right? And so in light of all of this, I just want to pray a blessing. May all of you go this Christmas day in happiness, hope, and harmony in Jesus Christ. Amen. Go in peace.